it is an amazing thing this morning that in our church we've seen at least in part the Great Commission realized. People have heard the gospel, they've believed in Christ, and now they've been baptized in obedience to His command. Now, because so many have been baptized this morning, I do want to take a few minutes to consider at least one aspect of this ceremony. Now, baptism is a rich and complex rite. There are a number of truths that are being communicated through it. Every aspect is significant. The fact that water is used is significant. It's an obvious symbol of cleansing. Of the act of going under and then coming back up teaches a number of truths. It pictures Christ's death and resurrection and our union with Him in these events. Through baptism, we agree to die to our old ways and begin to live a new kind of life. The words that are pronounced when the person is under the water is also significant. Through baptism, the triune name of God is placed upon us. Quote, "Baptism itself is a summary of our faith. Baptism is a confession of sin and a picture of repentance. Baptism is a profession of faith in Christ. It reminds us of Christ's humiliation and death and His resurrection from the dead. Baptism presents a preview of the bodily resurrection, and it portrays the radical nature of conversion. When rightly practiced, it distinguishes believers from unbelievers, the church from the world. It is the boundary of visible Christianity." Now, Baptists, as you might have guessed, have a lot to say about baptism. But given the broad range of things that can be said on the subject, we really need to find some focus this morning. So I want us to consider baptism as an act of obedience this morning. Now, I want to be clear on this. Baptism is more than just an act of obedience. And what I mean is that baptism is not just a human activity in which God is uninvolved. Baptism is a means of grace. Baptism is something that God often uses in the life of a believer to strengthen them in their faith. I believe that God is active in baptism. God works through baptism. He uses it to accomplish certain things in the souls of His people. Too often, Baptists have held to a one-sided view of baptism. There's been a strong reaction against many false beliefs about baptism, specifically the false God washes away sin apart from the faith of the person being baptized, or that God saves people simply through carrying out the ritual. There can be no doubt that those beliefs are wrong, all right? Works do not save. Rituals do not save. We must repent of our sin in order to be saved. We must put our faith in Christ in order to be saved. Nevertheless, it's an overreaction to say that baptism is only an act of obedience on our parts and nothing more. It's an overreaction to say that God does nothing at all in baptism. Wayne Grudem, a well-known Baptist theologian, wrote this: "We must not react so strongly to this error that we say that there is no spiritual benefit that comes through baptism, that the Holy Spirit does not work through it, and that it is merely symbolic. It is better to say that where there is genuine faith on the part of the person being baptized, and where the faith of the church that watches the baptism is stirred up and encouraged in the ceremony, then the Holy Spirit certainly does work through baptism, and it becomes a means of grace through which the Holy Spirit brings blessing to the person being baptized and to the church as well." So, while I will concentrate this morning on baptism as an act of obedience on our part, please keep in mind that it is more than that. It is a ceremony packed with gospel significance in which God is often pleased to bless His people. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do want to just thank You for Your kindness and Your grace and Your mercy. We want to thank You for displaying your sovereignty, Your control in saving so many people. Thank you for this time that we can gather now, that we can consider afresh the gospel, that we can rejoice with these believers who have been baptized and those who have joined our church. Thank you for just showering so many blessings and so many good things upon us all the time. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins. Thank you for the wealth and the riches of your kindness toward us. Please help us now as we look into your word. Illuminate our minds. Allow us to understand the truths therein. In Christ's name, amen. All right. The first thing I want to do is to consider the baptism of Jesus. So please turn to Matthew chapter 3. And I'll begin at verse 13. Matthew chapter 3. And just a few verses here. Verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me. But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. Now John the Baptist recognized that Jesus was greater than he was. John thought it strange that he should baptize Jesus. He thought it should work the other way around. So he tries to prevent Jesus from receiving baptism from him until Jesus speaks these words. Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. After Jesus said these words, John consented. It was God's will for Jesus to be baptized, and that makes it right for them to go through with this ceremony. The baptism of the Messiah was part of God's plan. Jesus, amazing as it sounds, identifies himself with confessed sinners by submitting to John's baptism because his was a baptism of repentance. At the very beginning of his public ministry, he identifies himself not with the righteous, not with those who thought that they were all right, but with the sinners that he came to save. And this pattern of associating with sinners will continue throughout his ministry, and it will culminate in the cross where he is said, according to Scripture, to be numbered with the transgressors. This baptism was an important part of his active obedience to the Father. It was one part of how Jesus always did the Father's will. In that sense, his baptism helped prepare him for the cross where he paid for our sins. For Jesus, being baptized was an act of obedience. It was one of the ways he complied with the Father's plan for his life. Baptism was one aspect of his submission to God. Baptism is an act of obedience. Now, this principle that baptism is an act of obedience applies not only to Jesus, but also to his followers. For us, being baptized is a matter of obedience. Please turn to Matthew chapter 28. A section of Scripture commonly known as the Great Commission, Matthew 28. I'll read verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus here speaks about his own authority. At this point in Matthew's gospel, Jesus has accomplished the messianic task. He came to earth and added humanity to his divine nature. He lived a sinless life of perfect obedience. He fulfilled prophecy, which clearly identified him as the long-awaited Messiah. He was crucified not because he was a lawbreaker, although he was falsely accused of sin, but because he offered himself in the place of lawbreakers. The righteous one died for the unrighteous, that we might be brought to God. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He defeated the grave and demonstrated that his death actually did pay for sin. At this point, after showing himself alive from the dead to many witnesses, and before he ascends to the right hand of God, that place of authority in heaven, he announces that God the Father has given him, God the Son, all authority. Because of his position in the universe, because he is the sovereign ruler over all of creation, because he is the Almighty, Jesus says, this is what will happen. People all over the world will hear the gospel. People all over the world will believe in Jesus Christ. And they will be baptized and they will learn to follow his teachings. Baptism, along with missions, evangelism, and learning the teachings of Christ, is a response to his ultimate authority. Baptism is an act of obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a quote. Baptism is a practice ordained by Christ himself. Jesus commanded baptism for those who become his disciples. I find two things especially interesting about the context of this command. First, look at the words of Jesus in the preceding verse. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Jesus bases his bidding that we be baptized on his complete authority over all creation. He is not pleading as a religious recruiter, anxiously hoping that someone will join his cause. Christ does not stand here as a great teacher instructing us with mystical insight about something he calls baptism. Jesus expressly connects his directive about baptism to his authority as God and Lord over all. Even if there were no other reasons, we should be baptized because the King of the universe, the one who made us and owns us, and the one who will judge us, has commanded it. Next, notice what is on the other end of Jesus' baptismal imperative. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This reminds us that the king's command remains in force to the end of the world. As long as people become disciples of Jesus, it is his will that the church baptize them. He did not make baptism optional for different cultures, times, personalities, or preferences. That's the end of the quote. So, to submit to baptism is to consciously and willingly acknowledge that Jesus is sovereign and that he has authority over you. Through baptism, we joyfully proclaim that Jesus Christ is the risen Lord, and we give ourselves totally over to him as our King, our Deliverer, our Ruler, and Savior. Let's not miss one last point in this text. Discipleship includes baptism and learning to observe all of Christ's commands. Baptism is a once-for-all event. Growing in Christ, that's a lifelong task. Baptism is not the end-all, be-all for the Christian. It is a starting point. After baptism, we must continue to learn more and more about living according to the will of our powerful Lord and our merciful Savior. May we then be given divine strength to persevere and continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.